Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit, who used your baptism to allow you to stand firm and confident now and forever, who uses his word to remind us of that amazing gift, who uses his supper to assure us of God's grace. That precious gospel is yours, my dear fellow redeemed. As you and I turn our attention to our gospel lesson for this morning, you've had an opportunity for the last couple of weeks to be reading the words in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 is a collection of Jesus' parables as he goes from one to another on that particular day. A couple of weeks ago, you had a chance to hear him describe the parable of the sower and the seed, the reminder of how God's word is just thrown out there. It is scattered. Some of it lands on the path, some of it lands in the rocks, some in the thorns, some on the good soil. But irregardless of that, our Lord and our God wants his word out there, and he throws it out there. And it is that word that turns our hearts into the good soil. Last week, we had a chance to hear the parable of the weeds and the wheat, the picture of the field that comes up, but then you've got the weeds, reminding us that believer and unbeliever are going to be living side by side as long as this world endures. This morning, you and I come to the end of chapter 13. And much like a fireworks display that has that grand finale, you've got one coming real rapidly, one after another. Now we've got four parables, one right after another, as Jesus wraps up what he describes as the kingdom of heaven. There is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. So what is it? You and I might think of heaven, which would be one way that the Bible sometimes describes the kingdom of heaven, and yet all of the parables that we've been listening to, the parables that we have before us today, are describing things that are not in heaven yet. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus is talking about is God's amazing rule, that kingdom that is already in place because he takes that gospel and he plants it in the hearts of his people, and he lives and he rules over you and me through that gospel. He lives and he rules over all of creation for the good of his church. That kingdom of heaven is God's saving activity, the work that he does to make sure that you know where you are going to be when this life comes to an end. So we turn our attention then to these four parables and rejoice that there is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. Nothing is more valuable. Nothing is more personal. And nothing is more necessary. Let's take a look at the first two parables. In a sense, they are very similar to each other. Parables that remind us that when it comes to knowing that there is nothing like the kingdom of heaven, there is nothing more valuable. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid again. In his joy, he goes away and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. When he found one very valuable pearl, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the stuff of movies, right? Everybody likes to find the treasure. You got the pirates sailing around in the seven seas looking for either somebody else's treasure or trying to find their own treasure that they forgot where it was buried or it got moved. You've got people who are going through life looking for that special person, special thing, special event, whatever it may be. Whatever it is that is their treasure, that is their focus, that is their goal. And so Jesus picks up on that idea and describes a treasure for you and for me. The first gentleman that he describes is kind of stumbles across it. He's not necessarily looking for it, but he comes across this treasure that he finds in this field. The second man has a little better idea of what the treasure is, or at least he knows that he's looking for one, and he's busy seeking one. This merchant is looking for a pearl. He's looking for a very good pearl, but now he comes across something that's more valuable than he ever dreamed. Beyond his expectations of what he had been looking for, that amazing treasure. A treasure that is valuable. Suddenly, these gentlemen now found something more valuable than what they already had. Now, while it's not part of Jesus' parable, if you and I would put ourselves into their position, you could understand that whatever you had already was of value to you. You had valued it. it had some value to you. But now, all of a sudden, because you had either stumbled across something or you found something even more valuable, you're willing to part with what you had. Nothing is more valuable than the treasure. The kingdom of heaven is like that treasure. There is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. Nothing is more valuable. When do things lose their value? As you think about the blessings that God has showered upon you, as you think about all of those possessions that we have, when is it that they no longer have value? Maybe it's because they get old and they're not functioning anymore. Maybe it's because they're just worn out. Maybe you've used it so many times that it's just not working like it's supposed to, and so you've got to find a new one. Maybe it's lost its value because you've now found something that has greater value. Something newer, something bigger, something better. Isn't that kind of the whole point of a lot of the commercials that come across your television screen? The car that you've got, the phone that you've got, the house that you have may be working fine, but suddenly it doesn't have quite as much value for you because this brand new thing is being dangled out there before your eyes, and now you think that's more valuable. We put our value on all kinds of things. We consider money to be valuable. Of course, the only reason that money is valuable is because we have, as a society, has decided that if you put a 5 on this kind of paper that's printed in this way in this particular place, as opposed to just writing 5 on a piece of paper, this is worth something, this one isn't. We attach value to that. We attach value to property. Some of it has more value, some of it has less. Perhaps it depends upon where it's at, what you want it for, what it's going to be used for. But we attach value. We attach value to possessions. Some of those possessions have value because they are equal to monetary value. Some of those possessions are probably absolutely worthless to anybody else. But because you made it, your child made it, your grandpa gave it to you, you've had it all your life, there may be some value there that is only for your benefit. And nobody else would ever see it. All of those things are blessings. All of those things come from the hand of our gracious Lord and our God. But remember, there is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. And for all of the value that is on those various things, nothing, nothing is more valuable than the kingdom of heaven. Nothing is more valuable than being connected to that saving work. Ease of life, running from a problem, rearranging things, getting more, having different. None of that is more important than being connected to the gospel of Christ, which tells you you've got everything. Your sin has been removed. Your guilt has been taken away. And so any difficulties that you face at school, any difficulties that you face at home, any problems you maybe face at life, whether you've got lots of things of value or not so many things of value, nothing can compare. Nothing is more valuable than knowing heaven is yours. There is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. After you and I now know that there is nothing more valuable, this next parable reminds us that there is nothing more personal. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When the net was filled, they pulled it onto the shore. They sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw the bad ones away. That is how it will be at the end of the world. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous who are among them, and they will throw the wicked into the fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In some ways, this parable is very similar to the one that we heard last week, the parable of the field. Remember, last week described that field as the world. Believer, unbeliever, will be living and functioning side by side as long as this world endures. A final separation isn't going to take place until the end of time. Very similarly, you now have this picture of this net, this dragnet that is let down. The net, the purpose of fishing for a net is not to try to get that one particular fish. If you're only looking for one, that's when you use a hook and a worm, and you're going after one at a time. This is the dragnet. You throw this in, and you gather everything together. pull it all up, whatever gets into that net, and then afterwards you sit down and you start sorting out what you want and what you don't. So just as believer and unbeliever will be living and functioning side by side as long as this world endures, so now the net reminds us that among us who have been gathered, even within the church, believer and unbeliever may be functioning side by side. We call them hypocrites. Those who look like they're part of the physical gathering, part of the visible gathering of the church, but because there is no faith there, are not really part of it. That's how it will be at the end of the time. The angels are going to gather together, and they're now going to sort things out. And they will reveal those who have been pretending all along, and they will be thrown away, while those who have been given the gift of faith will be thrown into the container of heaven. That's pretty personal. Fairly personal as to where are you going to be spending eternity. There are two places. You either are in the container or you're in the furnace. After this world, this life comes to an end, we're either in heaven or we're in hell. That's pretty personal. Now, our focus is not so much on now sitting around and trying to very discreetly start looking around and see, I wonder who the hypocrite is around us. Our goal is not to try to figure that out. The only way you could figure that out is if you could read the heart. We can't read faith into a heart. We can't read faith out of a heart. All we can do is listen to what they say, watch what they do, go by their confession. The hypocrite is the pretender. The confession is going to look good. Our job is not to try to figure out who they are. Let the God and the angels take care of that at the end of time. Rather, our job is to make sure that you and I continue to rejoice that I'm the good fish and I want to stay that way. Continue to hear that amazing message of the forgiveness of sins. Because after all, it is by God's pure grace that you are a good fish. As our own baptisms reminded us, as we confess this morning, every one of us is born into this world with a deep need for baptism, for God's saving activity to take place. The sinful nature proves itself in all the sinful things that we do. It is by God's amazing grace that you and I know that you have a Savior. Isn't that kind of personal? To think about what God described in that second lesson as being done for you, that there in eternity God foreknew you. Long before you ever entered into this world, long before you ever became part of the record of history, God knew who you were. He already knew about the goals. He already knew about the setbacks. He already knew about the good days and the bad days. He already knew about the joys and the struggles. He knows it all. That's personal. This is the God who predestined. Kind of the picture behind that word is to rope off, to fence off. Think about the June Dairy Days parade or the Oktoberfest parade. What do? Leading up to the parade, you get out there, you lay down the blankets, you lay down the tarps, you might even put a little rope berry up, and you stake your claim there on that curbside and say, this is my spot, because now I can get all the candy. That's what God did. He already in eternity roped you off, made you his own, said, you belong to me. This is my spot, this heart right here. This is where I'm going to be. That's pretty personal. Now, you and I would never have known about it. Never he would have known about what God knew and what God had done in time if he hadn't called. Come in baptism, word, and supper. Tell you what he did. Use that gospel to put faith in your heart so that you know that in Christ he roped you off, claimed you as his own, and already knew all about you. Now you are no longer in that darkness, but now you rejoice in God's wonderful light. And as he calls, he uses that gospel not to just tell you what you did, but to plant that trust and that confidence in your heart so that you believe that you are now justified. You are innocent. You are declared not guilty. You get to leave the courtroom knowing that all the accusations, you just sang it, Satan, go away. I'm baptized. You can't accuse me anymore. Because I have Jesus' righteousness. And his death paid for all of my sin. There is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. There is nothing more personal than knowing that you are justified and glorified. Now, from our point of view, that's still coming. We maybe don't feel all that glorified. And yet, from God's point of view, it's already done. The moment that he planted faith in that heart, the moment that everything Jesus did was applied to you, you're already glorified. It's yours. We rejoice that we are glorified now, and we will be forever. There's nothing more personal than that. Nothing more personal than knowing that at the end of time, God will take you and me, his righteous ones, safely to his side. Nothing is more valuable. Nothing is more personal. Which takes us to the last of the parables that Jesus has in our gospel for today. And that reminds us that nothing is more necessary. Jesus said to them, "Did you understand all these things?" They answered him, "Yes." He said to them, "Therefore, every expert in the law who has been trained as a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house, who brings out of his treasure both new things and old things." Expert in the law. Usually when you and I come across that phrase in the Gospels, it's referring to one of Jesus' enemies, one of those religious leaders who thought they had it all figured out. They were expert in the law. They knew exactly what they needed to do to make God happy. This expert in the law is one who has been trained to be a disciple in the kingdom of heaven. This one's you. One who's been trained. One who's in the kingdom of heaven. And suddenly that expert now understands what real treasure is and understands that he already has treasure, new and old. Some of that old treasure, the promises of the Old Testament, the ability to stand back and look at what God did all the way through that Old Testament time and see promise after promise made, how he guided and directed the history so that the Savior of the world would enter, just as he had promised. Some of those old treasures of things that you and I have known for years, we've known it all our life, we've reviewed them, they're second nature to us, almost to the point that sometimes they come out, we even kind of surprise ourselves with what we've known. You got the new treasures, the New Testament fulfillment. God did keep all of those promises. Christ has accomplished what was necessary for the salvation of the world. Some of those new insights that you and I have as we dig into a section of Scripture that maybe isn't quite as familiar to us, or perhaps as we're busy digging out the old treasures and we suddenly discover something new or a different aspect or a different perspective because of where we are in life. All of those things are treasures. There is nothing more necessary. It's necessary that you hear the gospel of forgiveness. It's necessary that this treasure becomes yours because you and I cannot become part of the kingdom of heaven on our own. Can't be done. God is the one who brings you into his kingdom. God is the one who gives you faith. God is the one who continues to build that faith. And if it's necessary for you to know this gospel, to enter into the kingdom of heaven, then it's just as necessary because nobody else can go in on their own either. And you are the expert. You are the one trained as a disciple in the kingdom of heaven. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't need to have a college degree. You know the Apostles' Creed. You know the Nicene Creed. You know what Jesus did for you. You're the expert. And now God uses you to let others know that there's nothing like the kingdom of heaven. There is nothing more valuable. There's nothing more personal. There's nothing more necessary. So as the experts, you can pray. You can pray for those. There may be people that you know of right now that have an opportunity to talk to somebody else. And so you can pray that God would bless the words and the opportunities given to that person and pray that the other one has his eyes and ears and heart of faith opened up to that precious gospel of Christ. You're the expert. You can give. You know there's places you're not going to get to. You know there's places and people that you're never going to be at and you're never going to meet. But there are people that can. You're the expert. You can give, not just so that the lights stay on and the air conditioning works, but so that the gospel is out there, so that that necessary proclamation of the forgiveness of sins gets to places that you would like to get to but can't on your own. Sending out people you've never met to people you've never met so that we can meet in the glories of heaven. You're the expert. And you can go. You can go to that neighbor. You can go to the coworker. You can go to the friend, the family member. Maybe you can go. Maybe you do have the ability to become that pastor or that teacher. Maybe you can go to that classroom. Maybe you can go to that particular pulpit. Maybe you can know that your child can go. Maybe you can send into God's kingdom a worker from your family. It's necessary. There's nothing more necessary than hearing that good news of the kingdom of heaven. Very simple parables. And yet they fill you and me with that absolute joy. Today is no exception. There is nothing. We've talked about a lot of things this morning. You've got a lot of things that go into those four parables, and there's much more we could talk about. But there is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. There is nothing more valuable than knowing that you have your sins forgiven. There is nothing more personal than knowing that your sins are forgiven. There is nothing more necessary than knowing your sins are forgiven. There is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. Amen.